720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio here the first day of 2017. You want to get off on the right foot. You want to start the year right. You're going to want to do it in a day that is also combined with National Bloody Mary Day, which is great. Now, Bloody Marys, when it comes to drinking and imbibing, I'm telling you, as far as kind of being fully socially acceptable, there are only a couple situations and or beverages that can kind of fit into that category. As far as kind of drinking, you know, other than maybe a mimosa or something like that before 11 o'clock would be maybe a tailgating situation, right? Because then, you know, you've got to get in what you can before the game starts. And those beverages are, you know, $8-$9 inside the stadium. So you're going to want to do that. Plus, you don't have a ton of time. And then the other one that you can have anywhere, you don't need a sports related situation, is the Bloody Mary. Because, and I'm not sure why. And of course, to my right, we've got lifestyle expert, tailgating guru, and contributed to the program for the entire time that we're here today, Beth Peterson. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you. Yeah, the Bloody Mary tailgating, they go hand in hand.
And it is the kind of thing that you can have. Now, why is the Bloody Mary seen as sort of an acceptable beverage to have almost any time, especially any time of day, but even like in the morning? Is it because of the health properties, maybe in the tomato juice? And there's usually maybe some vegetables, some celery.
That's right. There's a lot of times there's a meal. It's like a salad, you know, you're having like a salad and vodka in the morning. You're getting your vitamins in.
Now, is there anything that's called, you know, because you can have like a virgin daiquiri or a, you know, or some of those drinks that are kind of the non-alcoholic counterparts. Is there such a thing as a non-alcoholic Bloody Mary?
Sure, it's called tomato juice, right?
Well, I mean, with all the stuff on it.
With all the stuff on it, yeah, with the salad and everything. Yeah, mostly I think that it's just tomato juice.
Right. Well, and some special spices and peppers. When you get a great mixologist, maybe even a chef involved, and some of the best restaurants around, you are taking and seeing Bloody Mary's taken to another level. So on the show today, we're gonna talk a little bit about Bloody Mary's. Coming up at 1:30, we're going to have Matthias Horseman. He's the brand ambassador for Hendrix Gin, and he's got some vodka, spirits, and expressions in his portfolio. He's going to be making some classic Bloody Marys here with us. One of the great things about Bloody Marys themselves, you can make them yourself. You know, you can go to a restaurant and they can kind of doctor it up. You can do it yourself. People enjoy doing that. And you can with some of the best mixes out there from Powell and Mahoney. And I think I can barely see. Tom, is Giff on the line? So he is good?
Yes, he is.
All right. So let's check out Giff. Giff is calling us. We have got a program where we're going to have people calling in from all over the place. Giff, are you there? Welcome to WGN.
Happy National Bloody Mary Day, Dane. How you doing?
It's good. I am doing good. The day has started off right. And, of course, I have not had any Bloody Marys yet. You know, I intend to do that. Well, no, because we have to be able to speak and ask people insightful questions, or at least do the best we can. But you, and I hope that you have abstained, you know, until after this phone call as well, you know, just kind of hold it. But maybe not. Who knows what you're doing? Because you are actually calling us, and it's Giff Brown from Leahy IFP, also part of the Powell and Mahoney family that makes arguably, at least in my opinion, the best mixes that are out there. They're all natural. They're great, interesting flavors. And you're calling us from the mountains. You sent me some pictures. You're in Utah, right?
We're in Utah today, and brought in the new year up in the backcountry. So just excited to be on the show and talk to you about some of our products. You know, the Powell Mahoney brand really came about because we're a society of know-it-alls. People want to know what's in it. They read the labels. Where is it made? Who makes it? So as a society of know-it-alls, we decided to come up with the first really ever pioneering handcrafted cocktail mixers.
Are you having a Bloody Mary right about now?
Not quite yet. My football game hasn't started yet.
I see.
A little bit.
you sent the pictures, Giff, and there were pictures of the mountains. And my first thought, of course, was for your safety, because you know we've all seen The Revenant and the battling of the bears. So was there any chance for you to be attacked by a bear or be rescued by a Saint Bernard with those little kegs, right? They have the kegs around.
Yeah.
Usually, I think
rescue
it's
dog,
whiskey
yeah.
or something, but probably out where you are, it would be Powell and Mahoney Bloody Marys in there.
Well, I was always told safety never takes a vacation, so we did have a couple of Bloody Marys up in the backcountry yesterday afternoon, enjoying the beautiful sunshine.
Nice.
Which flavor did you go with? Because I know that you guys have some great, great, you know, different recipes that you share with all of us.
Yeah, we have three traditional flavors that we're working with right now with the Palm Honey brand. We have our natural spicy brand, and then we have a chipotle flavor as well as a sriracha flavor.
Mm-hmm.
On our website right now, we're featuring six Palm Honey recipes. Two I'd like to share with you, actually, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
So there's a chipotle michelada, which is basically taking your favorite Mexican beer, adding an ounce and a half of the chipotle Palm Honey Bloody Mary mix, and a half ounce of our old Valley Canyon ginger for a little bit of spice it up.
Ooh.
As well. So that's the chipotle michelada.
Interesting, yeah.
And then we also have a Thai-style Mary, and that's using your favorite citrus vodka, along with a sriracha Bloody Mary, and we like to have that garnished with a little bit of pickled ginger and some rosemary.
That sounds delicious.
Wow. Okay. Huh. See, that's one of the great things about the Bloody Marys. It's exciting to go ahead and have them at restaurants, and some people and places are doing them really right. And Beth's got a list of some of the places around Chicagoland, and I know that Matthias will as well. But also, people love to make their own, and they can do that with the Paul and Mahoney stuff. So we've got three different bottles. We're going to have the natural spicy, the sriracha, and the chipotle. And one of our winning listeners today during the program is going to be able to text in 312-981-7200. Or call in at that same number. And the ways that you can be entered to win today is your favorite Bloody Mary, your favorite recipe, the craziest thing that you like to put into it, or one of the places that you really enjoy getting it. You can do that, and then you can also you can add in with your New Year's resolution. Even if your resolution is to drink more or less Bloody Marys, you can do that as well. And 312-981-7200. Everybody that that enters in, calls in, texts in, is going to be entered to win. And GIF, at the end of the program, we're going to have a winner, and we'll get that information to you so that you can ship it out. But thanks so much for everything that you guys are doing. Stay safe out there, and happy National Bloody Mary Day.
Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you so much for having me on, Dana.
Happy New Year.
All right, thanks, GIF. See, that's one thing about Bloody Marys, is that it is the kind of thing that is... You can make them as crazy as you want. You see those pictures where you have submarine sandwiches.
The whole chicken in there. Have you seen that one?
No, I did not see a whole chicken.
Yeah.
What size chicken?
It's like a chicken. It's it's a giant Bloody Mary with a chicken and like a chicken dinner. It's basically a roasted chicken Bloody Mary.
Well, Beth, on the Bloody Mary side and on the entertainment, are there any rules, or are there almost no rules? Or what are some of the essential rules? He's got to have the tomato base.
Right.
But I think after that, though, you're kind of on your own.
You're on your own. That's the fun thing about Bloody Marys. I think there's been sort of a Bloody Mary revolution, I would say, in the last, 5 years. You know, you're seeing, like I said, the roast chicken Bloody Mary. I'm looking at a picture right now of a Chicago-style hot dog in a Bloody Mary.
Is it actually in it? Because it seems kind of soggy.
It's on top. It's, kind of on top of it. They've constructed it so it's not... gross.
I don't know about that. Sometimes you'll see bacon incorporated. I don't think there's any rules. So we're going to talk Bloody Marys. And again, you can add your favorites, 312-981-7200. But that is not going to be the whole program, because it is 2017. People are making resolutions that hopefully at this point you haven't broken. And whether those are to get in better shape, to go pursue something new in a career or a relationship, or to kind of clean up your act. We had a couple nights ago doing a show, people were weighing in on things. They want to be less cluttered. And so it gets down to almost anything, whatever is in your life that you're looking to adjust or improve, or people wanted to manage credit card debt better. I mean, that sounds less exciting than, climb the Matterhorn, but
important.
Yeah. Important.
It's like new year, new you kind of thing, right?
I like it.
Yeah.
New year, new you, 2017. So we're going to talk about that. One of them is healthy, and we are going to have Terry Grace is going to be on with us a little bit later on the program, talking about getting your mind right. It's something that we often neglect or don't put a focus on. We think about all these tangible things and not about having that positive mindset, but it is so important.
Yeah. Like the meditation, getting start. People, really are trying to think about, setting themselves up right for the day, the week.
Cleansing your mind, being positive, kind of giving that mental foundation for success. And then also something that I'm a big fan of, obviously, visually, I'm not doing as much of it as I should, but yoga. I really think yoga is the kind of thing that people, when it comes to the new year, everybody tells those stories about the gyms filling up and then the gyms emptying out, because, or you can get, that DVD of P90X that you know, or sweating to the oldies, whatever you want. But yoga is the kind of thing that is that can get you in incredible shape, and you can start at whatever fitness level.
That's
there are
right.
people that can barely move or walk, and you can do yoga and improve upon it. And
they say that it, you know, every practice is your own practice. So like I'm a big yogi. I love yoga. So the great thing about it is going in and you don't watch what everybody else is doing. You just do what you can do. That's what I love about yoga. You can be like 5 years old, 90 years old, and do yoga. It's awesome.
So we'll talk about getting your mind right and psychological success for 2017. And then Terry and her husband have a new school. It's like a yoga school for kids, too, because if you can get off on the right foot at a young age, and as a parent, Beth, and of course I am, too, it's great to have the kids involved and kind of setting goals and being as healthy as possible in this day and age. So we'll talk about that. And then it's amazing what your phone can do now, or what technology is out there now as opposed to 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you remember this, Beth, everything was made of wood and leather, and we all rode armadillos
whittling
to work.
Things.
Right, and now, oh my gosh, it's so amazing. Now, you know, everybody can come out in holograms, and they can do almost
drones.
Anything.
I mean...
your pizza, your Bloody Mary with a hot dog on top, delivered by a drone.
Oh my gosh, wouldn't that be fantastic?
Well, it may be happening, because at 2:30, Emmy award-winning tech expert Jennifer Jolly, who you've seen her on The View, The Talk, The Today Show, all of those things, going to be joining us to talk top tech for 2017.
2016 was a big year for tech. I mean, we had, you know, a lot going on. And so I can't even imagine what's going to happen in 2017.
The other thing you're going to help our listeners out with, we talked Bloody Mary, and I know that there are some health properties that offset the bad because of the tomato juice and maybe, you know, celery stalk, but we're going to talk some healthy smoothies and some ways that people can kind of blend in something good to jumpstart, whether it's their metabolism or their health for 2017. We'll talk about that with Beth when we come back. It's Dane here for Frank Fontana on 720 W. W G N. It is Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue on the first day of 2017. There is not going to be, does it ever roll, like the calendar roll? No, it just keeps going, right?
It just keeps going.
We're never going to have another one. Certainly, I probably won't live to, unless, of course, I will live if they come up with some scientific advancements. We'll talk to Jennifer Jolly. Maybe that's part of her tech thing, is the whole living forever. I know Ted Williams is being cryogenically preserved, right? So he'll be back with us. And then the other way to stay healthy is to eat right.
That's right.
And to exercise and to do some things. And so I think that's part of it, because when you can jumpstart your day with, like the right kind of smoothie, nutrients, I mean, it really kind of gives you that jolt.
It does. It gets you going, and you feel, you know, it gets you going, gets your body in line for the day. But also, I think doing it also makes you feel really like good about yourself. Like you're like, I did something great for myself today. So this is all part of the new year, new you thing, right? Because like the great thing is like every day is a new day. You can just like, you know, drink that green drink and feel good, and then keep it rolling.
And then you could be ready to drink Bloody Marys too after that.
That's
so
right.
We are going to let people share their ideas, their thoughts, their recipes for Bloody Marys throughout the course of the program, because it's National Bloody Mary Day. And then Beth, I know you're going to help us offset some of all that goodness.
Right. With it's some all about balance, right? Actual,
right. Everything in moderation, even goodness. Monique is on the line. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, how are you today?
We're good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So, Monique, what's your thought? You've got your own. Is this your own recipe or one that you're aware of?
Well, this is a recipe that I like to add some of the old-fashioned Bloody Marys, because I like to... one thing I like are the vegetables that are in Bloody Marys. I mean, I love tomato. I love tomato soup. I love tomato soup. So I like the fact that it has the spicy taste when you have Bloody Marys. You go out and have it, and everyone prepares it differently. So I prefer having, of course, the I love spare dill pickle in celery stick, and I love also having the spicy horseradish and Tabasco sauce in there, and add a little bit of lemon and lime.
It sounds
well
to me
as,
like you like the classic. This is like the classic Bloody Mary. You like to keep it, you know, where it kind of started, right?
Yeah, but then I like to add, you know, just have a little fun more with it, and add probably to vodka, and just add just a little bit of gin, just give it a nice little difference to it. with that lemon and lime flavor in there.
That sounds
great. Kind of like give it a something unique taste, because I know everyone's traditional is a vodka, but gin in there.
We're going to talk some gin a little bit later on the program with Matthias from Hendrick. So you're not alone in your appreciation of the gin side of the Bloody Mary world. And before we let you go, Monique, so when do you typically enjoy it? We talked earlier in the program, Bloody Marys, you can enjoy them in a fully socially acceptable way almost any time of day, you know, even in the morning. So when do you enjoy your Bloody Mary?
Well, I enjoy, like, sometimes my church members and I will go out after church. And so, you know, we'll go to a nice restaurant. One of the restaurants is called Duck Fat. Mm. And so, you know, when you're eating the fries are made in duck fat. So, you know, it's nice to have a little Bloody Mary.
This is all about balance. You get your church
late
in.
With that.
Yeah. You get your church in, and then you go and you get have a Bloody Mary. I like it. That sounds like a good Sunday.
It is a good Sunday. And it's so funny that my girlfriend and I, last night, she said, well, I took my pain pill, but I would sure like to go for a Bloody Mary. So, today, I think I'm going to either come by her house and prepare one for her.
Nice. It's about paying it forward. This is all about taking care of your fellow man and or woman or friend. And the gift of, I don't think the gift gets better than the gift of the Bloody Mary, especially on a big day like today. So, Monique, thanks so much for sharing. I'm sure a lot of people enjoyed
it.
Thanks for being on the show today.
Well, I appreciate you guys. And Happy New Year. And you guys are on my station all day today and tomorrow and year to come. So
see, that's
I
it.
I love great. You guys. And
that's
I love
great.
The Black Hawks. So. Black, huh?
All right, thanks, Monique.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
All right, so that's like a resolution that you should do is to keep it tuned to 720 WGN. You should do
that's
that
right.
at
that's...
all times. Okay, so and what you're hearing is that there are fans of, it doesn't matter, you know, who you are, what you do, what you like. Everybody kind of likes the Bloody Mary and can appreciate it, but everything in moderation. And so, Beth, let's hear, because you've got a great smoothie recipe that I've done before that I really like and that I think that people should incorporate as they kind of make that resolution to do something. This is an option for 2017.
Definitely. I think it's a requirement, honestly, for 2017. If you want to be healthy, you want to get the right nutrition, the right fuel in your body, and what better way to do it than start out in the morning with it. Now, this smoothie, it's really not a smoothie. It's really more of a juice, okay? I use my little Nutribullet. It's super easy. You know, you can use a blender, like a high-powered blender, or you can use a Nutribullet, which is what I use every morning. And it's basically just making sure you've got some spinach in there. I usually put berries in there to get it nice and sweet. I don't put anything sugary in there. I usually don't put any yogurt in there. People will do that. You can do that. You can add that to this if you like that. But I try and keep it strictly plant-based, completely veggie, fruit and veggie, heavy on the veggie. And people ask me, does it taste good? You know what? It doesn't taste great. I'm going to just tell you, it's all right. Okay?
Need to be realistic with
Let's
people.
Be realistic.
That everything in the world, especially a lot of things that are good for you,
right,
don't always taste the best.
It's and this really, it's all right. Okay? You can get this down. This isn't like, you know, it's not like drinking a Bloody Mary is what I'm saying, but it's so incredibly good for you because you've got all your antioxidants in, all those kind of cancer fighting things, and it just makes you feel awake and alive and ready for the day. And then, you know, you throw in some coffee on top of that, and you know, you're good to go for the day.
then you're supercharged on the energy
That's
side.
Right.
Now, do you recommend when you have this? Because I'm going to do this, you know, starting tomorrow and for at least a week and a half until I run out of ingredients. And is there anything do you recommend eating, or maybe that is your breakfast, right? Because there's a lot
That's,
of food.
Well, okay, I'm going to tell you. Want to hear what I do? Okay, so I do this green drink every morning, and here's what's in it. We've got spinach. You can put kale in there. I'm not a huge fan of the kale, so you know I usually leave it out, but I do spinach, I do a little knob of ginger in there, I do blueberries because I've got this friend, his name is Dane Neal, who brings me these amazing blueberries from Michigan that I keep frozen in my freezer, and so usually I put a scoop of blueberries in there. I use coconut water, I do celery and cucumbers. And that's pretty much it. I'll put some apple in there sometimes if I want it to be a little bit sweeter. And it's not delicious. It's all right. It's not bad. But I feel like I get all of these nutrients right at the beginning of the day. And then I usually do a little almond butter with an apple and maybe a hard-boiled egg, and good to go for the morning at least. And then like a gallon of coffee.
Well, you know what? It's one of those things where there's always these studies come out in the news reports. Coffee's good for you. Coffee's bad for you. Well, I'm telling you, I think the last 5 or so news reports have had coffee being really good in a lot of different ways, whether it's kind of good. And it sounds crazy, right? Because people think, you know, they're always looking at whatever it is that you do every day, that there's going to be some kind of health ramification. But I think they've said that having coffee actually prevents or at least reduces the possibility of certain cancers. And I think it's been better for whether it's, Alzheimer's or Parkinson's.
Good for your brain, I think. Yeah, I've heard that too.
And it's not bad for your heart. I've heard that too. Yeah.
It makes my heart race a little bit when I have a whole pot by myself, but
right. You got to take a bullet for the team.
Right, yeah, right. Exactly.
No pain, no gain. You've got to go ahead and do that. 312-981-7200. You can add your thoughts, as Monique did, on your favorite Bloody Mary, the place to get it, or your favorite recipe that you want to do. And then also your New Year's resolution. Before we go to news, Beth, do you have one? I don't think there's a limit. What was yours this year, or haven't you decided yet?
For my New Year's resolution?
Yeah.
God, you know what? I don't really make a New Year's resolution too much anymore because I usually don't follow through. So I guess it's just, enjoy life again this year. That's it. 2016 was pretty good. So just rolling it right into 2017.
Okay. That's what we're going to do. You can do that too. You can text in, call in. Everybody that does that is going to be entered to win the 3-pack of the Powell and Mahoney Bloody Mary pack. We got the Sriracha. We've got the Chipotle, and of course the regular spicy. 312-981-7200. When we come back from the news break, we're going to have Matthias Horseman. He is the brand ambassador for Hendrix Gin. He's got some vodka recipes as well, but he's going to show us the real professional way to make some Bloody Marys and some places you can get it around Chicago. Right now it is 1:30 and news time. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. The news is sponsored by ComEd, and here's Brandon Campbell. Like 720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase studio until 3 p.m. in for Frank Fontana on the Frank Fontana Show. He is a lifestyle expert, and we're trying to set people up for an extended lifestyle that will last far beyond 2017 by giving you all manner of things to know, whether it's getting your mind right. You've got to have that kind of mental foundation for that, and your body right with some yoga, and then you've got to make sure that you're enjoying yourself too. And the Bloody Mary, we've decided, is kind of the poster child for enjoyment with that. And in studio we've got Matthias Horseman. He is the brand ambassador for Hendrix Gin. He's going to be joining us in just a second, or even right now, to do some things. But on the line, as people are adding in their thoughts, everybody's got an opinion on their favorite Bloody Mary, either how they make it, what they do, what they like, where to get it. And we've got Gwen on the line. Gwen, welcome to WGN.
Thank you.
So Gwen, when it comes to the Bloody Mary, you've got thoughts, you've got ideas.
I do. I think it's all about the ingredients. So I like a clean vodka, like from the Leopold Distillery in Colorado. I like horseradish from Baumgartner's in Monroe, Wisconsin. I like Worcestershire, and then the spicy, like V8, if you don't make your own tomato mix, I like the spicy V8 in there. So I like some spice and horseradish.
So this is highly curated, it sounds to me. Like you have pulled this from...
It's a national pilgrimage.
From all over the United States, you pull together the finest ingredients, it sounds like.
That's right.
Okay, I love it.
Delicious.
And then, Gwen, how often, because we've said, the Bloody Mary is the one that is fully socially acceptable any time of day, any day. You can go ahead and have a Bloody Mary, and people won't look at you the wrong way. So when do you enjoy yours?
Just, typically on a weekend or for a special occasion, like for yesterday, New Year's Eve, like that. Or if I know you were talking earlier about what they're called with no alcohol. Those are called Virgin Mary. So those are also good. I'll do those sometimes too.
Nice.
It's brunch fare, wouldn't you say? I mean, this is like, it is. It's a Saturday, Sunday, tailgate, brunch, that kind of thing. I mean, you probably, they're a little heavy, right? I mean, you have to be committed to a Bloody Mary, right?
That eats like a meal.
You got to be committed to the Bloody Mary. It's a little bit heavy. There's a lot of stuff going on with it. And so you're probably not going to do it like on a Tuesday afternoon. I know. It's not really my thing.
But you could.
I could.
All right.
But you could.
All right, Gwen. Well, thank you so much. And you're entered to win. Hopefully, you'll get some extra ingredients to add into your next Bloody Mary. And Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too.
All right, so people have a lot of ideas, you know, when it comes to the Bloody Mary. And she talked about commitment. You've got to be committed to it. And here in studio with us, we're honored to have a guy that is committed to what I think is one of the best spirits out there. Certainly the best gin, or at least my favorite, Hendrick's Gin. We've got Mattias Horseman in studio, the brand ambassador. Mattias, welcome to WGN.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Happy New Year.
And it's a pretty bottle, too.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful bottle.
It's almost as beautiful as you.
Which oh, my goodness. So, Bloody Mary's gin and compliments. Yeah. I love this day.
Well, okay. Well, now that's Mattias's job. He has to be out there, and he has to kind of represent and present Hendrick's in the best way possible. You know, the bottle is great. I mean, it's very simple, right? Yes. But it's kind of elegant. And then inside is, and you guys say it all the time, how unique it is. So talk a little bit about Hendrick's gin for those people out there haven't tried it. It is something different.
It is indeed. Hendrick's Gin is one of the most interesting products I've ever worked with. I mean, it has 11 botanicals, and then we also infuse it with cucumber and rose. So when you incorporate it into something like a Bloody Mary, it has the most beautiful backdrop for which to paint your canvas on, because you have all of these flavors to work with already, and then you can just kind of enhance it with the other things. And that's kind of like we were just on the air with that lovely lady, and she said it's all about the ingredients, and I completely agree.
Yeah, and there is so much that you can do it. As a mixologist, I'm sure that's one of the things that you appreciate, because you can do so many things. It does have its own flavor. You know, it's got the kind of cucumber essence sort of built into it. I've known Charlotte Voisey for many years, and some of the things that you guys are able to put together when it comes to Hendrick's, I mean, the drinks, I mean, they don't even taste, they're obviously drinks, but they taste so good. And I think that's kind of the mark of somebody who's really good at what they do.
Absolutely. I mean, it's an artist, it's an art form in many ways, I think. You know, these guys have such great creativity behind what they do. I've been behind the stick for many years now, since I was 18, actually. It's been great.
So Mattias, how do you do this? You take something, because here's in my mind, it's, you know, exploding a little bit, because I think of something that's as kind of refined and elegant as Hendrick's, and then yes, a Bloody Mary is an art form, but it's like painting with, you know, with a roller, right, as opposed to, you know, a brush. Like, how do you do it? Add in some of those great things without being heavy-handed? Because Beth was showing me pictures of, like, hot dogs on sticks stuck in the top of them, right?
I mean, the Bloody Mary, I think the garnishes on Bloody Marys is something that's kind of given it its kind of fame over the years, I think, as well as its fantastic flavor. But, I mean, I've seen burgers, pizzas, all sorts of things, crab, whole crab on top. You know, it's
I was saying earlier that I think that this Bloody Marys have gone through, like, a Bloody Mary revolution over the last 5 years. And it's like people just are getting so creative and having so much fun with the toppers on them.
Well, that's, I think, great. You know,
but it really matters the taste and the flavor of the actual Bloody Mary.
Absolutely, and it also goes back to the history of the Bloody Mary. I mean, when he came over from France, came over from Harry's Bar over in Paris, and it was fantastic, you know. But then he went to the St. Regis in New York, and they kind of were like the founders, and he really cultivated that idea of using the Worcestershire sauce and building upon it. And so now, as you said, we're in like another renaissance about it. So now modern mixologists are kind of coming in and taking that drink and really elaborating on the flavors of it.
Their riff on what it means to them. Okay, so I am intrigued by the history of the Bloody Mary. We talked just very briefly about it, but tell us, what do you know about that?
So like I just said, I mean, it came over from Paris with a guy called Fernand Petiot. He was a great guy. He worked at some of the best bars in the world at the time. And when he came over, he kind of had this new kind of found respect for the cocktails in the 20s, you know. So when he was thinking about it, it's all, you know, it's the it's that Worcestershire, that tomato juice and the spices and everything like that, and cultivating that kind of idea of multiple layers of flavor. And then, you know, as I said, progressing to nowadays with the advance in kind of like products, we have the wonderful gins with many botanicals. And so, like you said before today, and we were talking about how you actually have to kind of build up on the flavors that are in there. So when you have this idea of Hendrick's, to be able to paint with that roller or that brush, you take the flavors in the drink, and then you elaborate on them bit by bit to create this overall picture.
As you're sharing, and I know that you're going to share a vodka recipe as well, and maybe even another spirit, but people are kind of, they think of as many different things as they can stick in it and on it and, and all around it. They still think of it as a vodka cocktail, right? Where you don't necessarily think gin first.
Absolutely. I think some of the best things in this world are the things that you least expect. And so when you start playing around with the different things, I've made many rum Bloody Marys. If you make one with the Flor de Caña, it's fantastic. But, you know, when you're talking about gin Bloody Marys as well, I'm putting a little bit of ruby port in there, and it's just fantastic.
One of my favorites is a tequila Bloody Mary, the Bloody Maria.
Love it.
Love them. Absolutely. They're so good.
You're going to have to try the green one over there as well with Milagro. It's 100% blue agave from Jalisco, and it's absolutely fantastic.
Nice. Whoa. Okay. Yeah. So, we're getting kind of like an expanded horizon when it comes to keeping your mind open to options for the Bloody Mary. And we do have, it looks like Jan on the line, and Jan is also a fan of the tequila Bloody Mary. Jan, welcome to WGN.
Hi, nice to be here.
So Jan, when it comes to Bloody Marys, you make them with tequila or you like them with tequila?
I do. I make them and drink them with tequila. Bloody Maria.
I'm with you. I love them.
If that's an iPhone, that's correct.
Okay. All right, Jan.
Uh-oh, Jan.
Maybe Jan will give us a call back. Or either way, everything in moderation, right? And you want to also have, and Maddie, you want to know the glass that you have it, and we see all these pictures of it. You want one with a handle, right, so you don't drop it, because as Jan experienced, sometimes things can get slippery.
Absolutely. I think the glass was super important. You know, I mean, I'm English, so we're drinking out of teacups today in the studio here.
So cute.
But I think everything tastes better out of a teacup, to be honest. But like you said, it's got a handle. You can always have it any time of day.
And before we go to the break, let's talk about, and you mentioned one of the cocktails that you've made here with the agave. Talk about the cocktail that you have here, this particular one. It's green.
Yeah. So with Milagro tequila, again, we're going back to that quality of ingredients. And that's what's really important for us. And so when we're looking at using that beautiful tequila, 100% blue agave from Jalisco in Mexico, and then we're using one tomatillo, kind of blended up with some cucumber, some jalapeno, a little bit of agave nectar and lime juice.
Let me taste it.
And it has the most amazing spice in there, but it's so delicate and so unusual. And like I said, you know, sometimes the things you least expect are the most delicious.
Oh, my.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. Right? It's almost one of those things that we've all. And when it comes to pizza, I like thin crust pizza. I like deep dish pizza. I like everything. I'm not an either or, but an and guy. But this is a delicate and refined version of a Bloody Mary. I think that, you know, trying to jam a folded up slice of pizza into that would be a punishable offense.
Wouldn't be right. It would not be right. But the tomatillo in here is so delicious.
Well, I think
delicious.
Coco Chanel said it best. She said, you can always be overdressed, but you can never be over elegant. And I think the same thing applies to cocktails.
Mm-hmm. Look at you, Maddie. You should do this whole representing thing. All right, in studio, we've got Maddie Horseman. He is the brand ambassador for Hendrick's Gin, and also kind of the ambassador for the start of 2017 when it comes to great cocktails and great Bloody Marys. We're going to continue with him. I do have Beth Peterson as a guest in studio as well. And Tom Hush, that's his real name in the booth. We're going to take a break. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. WGN 720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in for Frank Fontana until 3 p.m. today on New Year's Day. That is all. New Year's Day, you think of it as a pretty big holiday. It's on the calendar. It's on almost any calendar. I don't care where you go around the world. Boom, New Year's Day. It's there. But
it's happening.
It coincides with, I think, a holiday that maybe could catch up in popularity based on the fact that the Bloody Mary is one of those great drinks out there. It's National Bloody Mary Day.
I think it goes hand in hand. I mean, I think it's a shared day.
Absolutely.
I mean, it just like, it's right.
They
doesn't
do go
it
hand
fit?
In hand, for
it's
sure.
Like Bloody Mary Day, New Year's Day. It's, I don't know. It's a match.
And I think that's a good point, Beth, because of course, Beth Peterson is to my right in studio, and we've got Mattias Horseman, the brand ambassador for Hendrick's Gin and other spirits in the William Grant and Sons portfolio as well. But you're right, because if it was national, don't drink anything,
Water Day.
Probably wouldn't catch on.
No, I don't think so. It's
funny how you can, you have to drink 8 glasses of water a day, but 8 pints and a couple shots seems so like no problem at all. But
that's right.
That's an excellent point, Mattias.
That is. We somehow could get that down, but the 8 glasses of water, not so much.
I don't have, you know, kind of my lab coat on or the charts and graphs here, but I know and I've heard somewhere that we're a certain percentage of water. Are we like 80% water, 70%
water? Remember, I thought it was 90%.
Yeah, I don't know, right? Yeah. What percentage of water is the Bloody Mary? I think we could be killing two birds with one stone here.
I guess, well, if you break it down, probably about half an ounce of water in there after you shake it with the ice. But,
okay, so we just have to drink more of the Bloody Mary to get to the 8 glasses of water. That's like what I'm thinking, right?
100%.
Okay, let's do that then. That's our the rest of our day, just focused on that.
But responsibly, of course.
Of course.
We had a texter from the 847 saying that Jan may have already had too many Bloody Marys. but her enthusiasm was there, and I think that that's something that you can get from that. And enthusiasm for the brand and what they represent, Mattias definitely has that. So let's talk about, you know, one of the other spirits. You've got a vodka spirit as well, so identified with it.
Actually, all the vodka ambassadors, they're running into the, they're just at Coney Island right now, and they're doing the Arctic Plunge. So they're running into the ocean right now in support. It's pretty fun, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they're all, Trevor Schneider, he's a great guy. He was actually one of my first friends at William Grant back in the day, so...
Do you think they've had a little vodka before they're going in?
Yeah, we should get Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
I would say there's many different types of blanket out there, and I think Reka would definitely be one of the ones that they're using. Yeah.
Excellent.
So let's talk about it. Vodka associated so much with the Bloody Mary, and you have one of those as one of the ones on the list that you're going to be talking about today. So, you know, kind of
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that first call that we had actually is perfect. She basically said that it's all about the ingredients that you use. And I think that comes down to, I mean, that's the clincher. That's the basis of everything, right?
Right.
If you use quality stuff, you're always going to be having a quality experience. And so with vodka, I mean, it's made in Iceland. It's beautifully crisp. It's filtered over lava rock, so it takes out some of those impurities. And, oh, it's absolutely fantastic. Again, it's a beautiful canvas to paint a picture of a cocktail on.
Again, it's kind of like an art form.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, making Bloody Marys, it's a partial skill. It's a partial gift, partial science, partial art, but mostly it's love. So...
Oh.
I love the love that's in this Bloody Mary.
Absolutely.
These are fantastic, and I can feel the love.
Okay.
For sure.
All right, easy.
It's getting hot in here.
But people are loving the Bloody Mary, and one person from the 312 texted in pickle juice, that they like to put pickle
juice
in.
Yeah.
So you can give your thoughts on that, and you can debunk some of those, because if some of our listeners are on the wrong track, you can say, hey, maybe don't try that anymore.
Well, we were actually just having this conversation in the break. I mean, there's really no wrong way. I mean, if you think about it, like, I would just say, I mean, don't skimp out on putting all the ingredients in. Like, really go for it and kind of be creative.
Now, a piece of pizza or an oyster or a full-size hot dog or hamburger on top could be kind of overkill, but Larry from the 773 texted in that what he likes to do is an original beef stick sausage Slim Jim. So it's a little bit kind of
I've seen more, that before.
More delicate.
Definitely. So are you
against?
Bar.
No, again, I mean, I actually used to make candied bacon at a bar I used to run. I used to make candied bacon every day before I started my shift and put that in there. So we had, it was like brown sugar on top of bacon, and then you put some cayenne pepper and paprika on it, and it was delicious.
It's like a meal and a drink.
Absolutely. Again, like the sky's the limit, and we're just trying to give people a little taste of the unknown. So, I mean, it's kind of like the one thing that we want to do is really enlighten people about flavors, about experiences, and especially when it comes to that.
And I think that also, like, the place that you're drinking the Bloody Mary, like, can sort of, you know, they have their own style, right? Like, the Slim Jim to me seems very sports bar, seems very, like, tailgatey, right? But, like, maybe there's some more elegant forms of Bloody Mary that you can tell us about.
I think the you're right about the place, you know, I think, but more importantly, it's who you spend it with.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the key thing. So, you know, I think New Year's is such a great day because we've all been celebrating with our friends and our closest friends last night. And then today we get a chance to experience not only a Bloody Mary, but we also get a chance to socialize with them more in the morning when we're all kind of like
at
our most vulnerable, you know,
right.
We're kind of just also tired, like wearing the shades and having some fun outside, you know, but
I've had some of my best moments with friends and family, on New Year's morning, you know, because you're kind of like a little bit vulnerable, I guess you would say. You're just like, it's fun. I don't know what it's about.
A texter from the 630 wanted to get your thoughts on oysters, on having oysters in there, if that's something that is.
And again, it's all about personal preference. I love oysters. Oyster shooters with the Bloody Mary mix in there are kind of like, I mean, that's been a staple at some places that I've worked, and I think it's a great idea. Again, I think it's just about making sure that you combine the flavors correctly. And that's where the skill of the modern mixologist or bartender comes in. Like, you know, we're drinksmiths, we're artists, we make things for people personally these days, which is great.
So. It isn't local Bloody Mary Day. It is National Bloody Mary Day.
Absolutely.
Kind of implying that the holiday, that the celebration goes from coast to coast, and through the magic of WGN Radio and WGNRadio.com, we have just some general love and I think traditional respect for the Hendrix Martini. You know, someone said that, and they're wishing you a happy New Year's from Taos, New Mexico. So you've got
cool.
Yeah.
I was just in New Mexico a couple of weeks ago. That's awesome.
I bet you there's some spicy, like peppery Bloody Marys going on in New Mexico.
Yeah, you never. Well, right? There's no rules. You can do whatever. You know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And when in Chicago, you want to get out and enjoy it. We've talked to some people who are making their own and enjoying it. You could certainly do that. But you've got some places, some great bars, some great restaurants around Chicago that you're recommending that are doing it right.
Absolutely. So, you know, there's a couple of great places that can actually offer the drinks that I've made here in studio today. So we have the Beacon Tavern is a fantastic place. If you haven't been there yet, it's absolutely incredible. But they're offering our Hendrix Bloody Mary on a special today, which is fantastic. So very excited about it. I'm going to go by and stop by there later and see those guys. Nice. And then, you know, we have the Milagro one is at Revolution Steakhouse. That's a great place as well. And then we have the Reka Bloody Mary is over at Emmett's on Milwaukee.
And
so.
which one is the you said the Raker?
The Raker Vodka is Emmett's.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Is Emmett's
right,
over in Milwaukee. But Hendrix is over at the Beacon Tavern, and those guys are fantastic. So.
And do you have any addresses for any of the places?
Yeah.
I'm sure we could just Google it.
No, yeah, absolutely. I think it's on Emmett's is on Milwaukee, and then we have Revolution Steakhouse is right downtown on Broadway, I think. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have to double check on the other one.
You came with, and we're going to have a picture up at WGNRadio.com of your kind of satchel of awesomeness, right? This this kind of secret Inspector Gadget.
It was a happy moment when they walked in with this little
doctor box with all that stuff in it. And as you know, I don't think the beverage defines you completely. You want to have some great food along with it. So if you can give the listeners a couple suggestions of things to pair with, let's say that the main course is the Bloody Mary, but what are some foods that go along with it? Not stuffed on top, but the kind of things that'll go along with it for a meal.
Yeah, for sure. Well, like we were saying, it's more of a brunch thing, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think it was the perfect description for when you're kind of going to be enjoying a Bloody Mary. So we're talking about... pancakes are great. You know what I mean? Like if you really want to go that traditional American style, coming to America from England,
I came over and I loved the
pancakes
are great.
And then Eggs Benedict is like my personal favorite with some hollandaise on there with that sriracha.
I agree.
Oh,
really good.
Perfect.
Oh, you know what's kind of interesting about the Bloody Mary really quick is that it's a savory drink. What's that? I mean, what were people thinking? Like, hey, let's make something salty.
You know, I think that's a key thing. In cocktails, it's kind of been a revolution, salt. Like, who thinks? Like, when you make a chocolate cake, you add, like, a pinch of salt.
Sure.
Because it brings out flavor. So I always used saline solution in my cocktails, actually.
Yeah.
And people always said to me
that, instead of simple syrup, it's like the other side of things, right?
I think in conjunction with simple syrup, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's the key. It's everything kind of works as a balance, right?
Let's see. He's a scientist.
Yeah.
He's there designing things
when
in
I
the
first
research.
When I first moved to the States, I wore a waistcoat I was working in like this beer lounge on top of the mountain in Snowmass in Colorado. And the guys always used to call me the doctor because I would wear waistcoats and bow ties and on the ski mountain, so...
And
English as well.
And a stethoscope. You had that too.
Exactly, yeah.
So, Vanius Horsford is in studio. He is the brand ambassador for Hendrix Gin and many of the great spirits in the William Grant and Sons portfolio. So, Vanius, when people are out there listening, they're thinking they want to learn more, they want to find out where they can get it. I'm assuming at a lot of places where great spirits are sold. But give us the website for Hendrix.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can learn all these different recipes and things on all the different websites for the products. But if you go to www.hendrixgin.com, we have all of our recipes and many more on there that you can kind of approach our curious world of fantastic experiences.
And just based on what we've tried here today, they're fabulous.
Yeah.
So,
and like I said, if you're in town, you can always find all the booze at your local spirits purveyors and
Binnie's.
Binnie's, perfect. But even the local ones usually have everything.
And
like I said, definitely stop by the Beacon Tavern on Wabash. It's a great time. They're going to have a good day today with the
big fan of
Bloody Marys. I haven't been there. I think we need to stop in.
Big fan of the Bloody Mary of Hendrix and of course of what you're doing. Good luck, Madison. Happy New Year! Right now it is
Happy New Year to you too.
It is 2 o'clock and news time. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com news time. And here's Brandon Campbell. 720 WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue until 3 p.m. today. It is the start of a brand new year, 2017, for so many people. It couldn't get here quick enough, right, people? This was, I mean, you think, I don't remember if it was exactly like this, but I think people were ready to be done with 2016 more than almost any other year in recent memory.
It's all over social media, like goodbye 2016, good riddance kind of thing.
Yeah, don't let the door, you know, kick in, all that kind of stuff. Part of what it is that you get, and I know there's no real line, but there is some sort of psychological line that there's a, it's a way to clean the slate, start fresh, be new, and do so many things, and oftentimes it's in the form of a resolution. You know, people are like, well, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do less of this, or more of that, or get organized, or get healthy. And one of the things that people don't necessarily consider, we talked about it on the air a couple days ago. We was talking about a show, and somebody had called up and said the most important thing, regardless of what it is that you want to do, if your mind isn't in the right place, if you don't have the right positive attitude, it's hard for you to get towards anything. And I think that's true. You've got to be kind of get your mind into whatever you're going to do, whether it's be, you know, mentally committed to whatever changes or just positive,
right?
So that you can kind of be the best person that you can be. In studio, we have Terry Grace and Paul Hansen. Paul Hansen is a yoga instructor, and we're going to talk about the school that they've got going on out in Yorkville a little bit later on in this segment. And Terry Grace is a licensed social worker. And so Terry, that's one of the things, right? As people start the new year, you want to have you've got a clean slate in so many different ways, but you want to have your mind in the right place for success.
Exactly. I know a lot of people start the new year with really strong ideas about their intentions and the way they're going to follow through with those things, but follow through doesn't always happen. So you really have to incorporate your mind, your body, your soul, and your emotions in doing it. So yoga is one of those things that encompass all of those things.
It is for those. Okay. On the yoga, and we're going to talk, you know, quite a bit of yoga and obviously, you know, visually, and for these people watching on camera, WGNradio.com, we've got cameras in here. You can see that, you know, Dane isn't.
They could see me dancing in between. I didn't know this, Dane.
Dane hasn't been doing
like a fool in between.
No, you're just having a good time. But I haven't done as much yoga as I could, but I have done it for periods of time over the years, and it's pretty amazing and transformational. You know, from a 10,000 foot view outside, you look at it and you're like, well, what could you even be doing? It doesn't even seem like you're really doing anything, but you are, and you can get fit, and it does have that whole kind of mental zen aspect to it. So we're going to talk a lot about yoga a little bit later on in the segment, but for you, and when you sit down and you talk with people on the mental side and the psychological side, what are some of those things that you tell them or tools, I guess, that maybe you give them that help them kind of be in the best place when it comes to their thought process?
I've been a mental health therapist for about 10 years now. But I opened the yoga studio about 6 years ago because people kept coming to me wanting to be well, but their only tools were to increase the medication. And so I realized that there was a huge gap with what they were doing in addition to that. So I started the yoga studio. All my clients have for yoga. And again, we really look at consistency in following through with taking care of your body, because your body and the illnesses and the different things that come up in your body are manifestations of the other things going on in your life. So if you get your body well, everything else seems to fall into place.
I love it. I think this is a great segment to start the new year with, because everything you said, I believe to be totally true. I was just saying before, I'm a big yogi. I do yoga like 4, maybe 5 times a week, kind of crazy person about it. And I've been talking to Dane about it for a long time. And I know, Dane, you've done yoga in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it always works. It isn't one of those things, you know, right. You see the infomercials, you know, where I don't know if it's, you know, Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers or any of those. And they're fine at what they do, but they're like, and your first 10 pounds is on us. You know, I'm like, how are you giving me anything when you're doing that? When so much of it is, it's just right in your hand. Like, you can go ahead and do it. And it is one of those things that is easy to do. And, you know, there does seem to be, there's a big mental component, and it's weird. It's not the kind of thing that I don't know that if it's written in instructions or just some, it's sort of a side effect that at least when I did it, I was surprised that you did feel like there was something greater than the sum of the parts that was happening. It's strange,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's the whole mind body connection, right? And it's the breathing and it is a moving meditation, basically, right?
It is. In a world of hyper-connectivity and hyper-distraction, yoga gives you an opportunity to settle down and see, what is my mind saying? Is it true? How do I feel right now? It brings you into the moment.
And it gives you that mechanism, kind of the tools to unplug for a little bit.
Yes.
A little bit later on in the program, we're going to have Jennifer Jolly, and she's a tech expert, telling us about all of the latest and greatest gadgets and things that are out there that'll probably just add to more of kind of the things, information overload coming in. It's amazing stuff, and it's great, and we all love it, and it's billions of dollars worth. But really, I think as physical beings, you do need to kind of just find a way to block stuff out, and it's not easy.
Well, you know how kids are when they're little and they get too much stimulation and they like have temper tantrums or they're just like they're out of sorts, right? Mm-hmm. As adults, I think we still have that same element. We have so much coming in all the time. To not take a break and sort of have quiet, I think it creates a lot of problems for people. So what I love about yoga and meditation is it does take you to that base place and it blocks things out for a little bit, which I think your brain needs that break, right? Sure.
It creates an opportunity to create space.
Yeah.
And then go through what's going on inside of you, you know, and review the day and unload some of that stress.
Right.
You know, and that creates vitality in the body.
So Terry, when you think about it from the mental standpoint, is it something that can be included in kind of a yoga regimen or yoga lifestyle if you're building it in a couple days a week or 3 or 4 days a week? Or is there some kind of mental exercise or cleansing that you can do or should do in conjunction with that?
One of the major components of a yoga practice is breath work. And the breath work in itself, the mindful breathing, slows down our nervous system, which then helps increase the chemicals in our bodies that help us to be happy and calm and well. So that's one of the main components. Also, we're usually in that fight flight throughout the day. We're so busy. Everybody's on fire. So just even sitting and breathing helps reverse all of those things that we're doing. So you don't have to be in a headstand or in some crazy yoga poses. And I hear that quite often. You know, I can't do yoga, it's too hard. Or I hear I can't do yoga, it's too easy. And that's the wonderful component about it. There's so many different teachers. There's so many different studios. There's so many different styles of yoga that you don't have to be, stuck with one thing that you don't like.
And I love that it's your own. I love the big thing is that it's your own practice. I said this a little bit earlier in the show. Everyone comes to it at their different levels of experience, their different levels of physical ability. But the cool part is that anybody can do this.
Yes.
And it really is meant to not be competitive, which, in sports a lot of times, or any kind of physical stuff, you're looking around at everybody else. You're ego, right? you're pretty much banned from doing that in yoga class. If you're doing it, you're not being very nice.
Right.
You or to yourself or to the other people around you. So you just really focus on yourself and then, you make your incremental changes or you get out of it what you need to get out of it rather than, I could talk about this for hours.
And it could be as easy or as challenging as really you want. And I use this example on a regular basis because this was something that was front and center, very personal and something that I watched happen before my eyes. But my brother-in-law, maybe 2 years ago, his kidneys failed. And he was really heavy and obviously just the process of the kidneys failing. He was very, very, very unhealthy. He could barely walk. He could barely walk out to get the mail outside and any of those
young
things.
Right?
He still is. I mean, he's right. He's maybe 40, something like that. So this was something where it's not as easy. It's one thing to think of yourself. And if you're not in those situations, maybe you're not aware of how that whole thing works. But so let's say you need the doctor's like, you're going to go on dialysis and you need a transplant or you're going to die. But they don't just go ahead and rush you to the hospital and pop in, a new kidney because you have to be healthy enough to really earn that kidney. And then you also have to be able to survive the surgery and all the things that go along with it. And so it's a long road from being so unhealthy to getting healthy enough to where they kind of qualify you to go ahead and get it. And this is a guy who couldn't really even move. So he came with us to a yoga class. He just happened to. And then he was like, oh, I'm here. And he could barely do anything. Sure. And he got to the point where over the course of maybe 8 months or so, he ended up losing 80 pounds and got in the best shape of his life. And then, got the kidney and everything worked out great. And it was all yoga. There was nothing else that he couldn't have done any other that I'm aware of, like workout or exercise regimen to do that. He couldn't even just like go walk. He couldn't have done any of that. It was all yoga. He knows it. Yeah. And I watched it happen and it was pretty amazing.
I think that anyone out there listening that is in a position like that, the cool thing about a yoga studio, and I'd love for you guys to talk about this, is that it is such a supportive place. And that's probably why he continued on with it, is because, you know, every yoga studio I've ever been to, it's just like the people that run it, the people that are involved, they are so passionate about it, and they want you to be healthy and want you to get all the great benefits from yoga.
Yeah. He started out at the basics, and then by the end, he was doing like two sessions a day of like hot yoga and all sorts of crazy things. Yeah. So we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, these guys are in studio, Terry Grace, Paul Hansen. They have started a place. It's one thing, we give people all this inspiration. You should be doing this. We don't tell them where to go ahead and do it, right? Yeah. And then also, too, is this is one of the things. It's one thing to start stuff as an adult. But now with, you know, kids, and we hear all those stories, whether it's diabetes or whether it's just they're playing video games, they don't get out and play for whatever reason. This is an opportunity to build kids into some of this good stuff that's going on at the Grace Holistic Center for Education as well. So we've got these guys in studio. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back. It's Dane on 720 WGN. Oh, yeah. Seven 20 WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio in until 3 p.m. The Frank Fontana Show will return next week, and so look forward to that. This is the first day of the rest of 2017, the rest of your life as well, and people are trying to make those kind of formative and important changes to be the best them that they can be. In studio, we've got Terry Grace, we've got Paul Hansen. These guys have the Grace Holistic Center for Education, as well as a mental health practice, a yoga studio, and a festival, right? You guys are doing it all. But it's cool to have so many irons in the fire, but they all kind of have this synergy of helping people and having people be the best that they can be.
Yes.
Well, she's in agreement. Hey, sometimes you don't need more than just a yes.
Dane said it all. That's it. We're done. Close agree. It up.
One of the important things, and one of the reasons that we wanted to have this as part of our kind of 2017 show, is that you've got to, regardless of what it is that you're going to do or try to do or try to accomplish or try to limit, you got to have your mind in the right place. And Terry, that's one of the things that you focus on, right? Is trying to, that's that whole mental aspect, kind of having a positive attitude, clearing out a lot of the negativity so that you're really prepared to go forward.
The words that we tell ourselves and the thoughts that we tell ourselves have so much energy in them. And I think a lot of people don't understand that, you know, our self-talk, our conversations with others affects us on a physical level also. So that is one of the main components I focus on, that also yoga is so good for, because it helps you to think positively, say kind words to yourself, and the affirmations with the community, like you spoke about earlier, and the positive relationships that you build.
So, and I think you've kind of offered up options 360 for every member of the community, and 312-981-7200. If people want to text in any questions, any positive thinking, any yoga questions, sure, any holistic center for education type questions, 312-981-7200. We've got them in studio for the next handful of minutes. But so here's the thing. There are yoga studios out there, and I think everybody can understand that thinking positive is a positive thing. But you guys have gone, like, I don't want to say one step further. You've gone like 100 steps further by creating a place that incorporates opportunities for kids to get in on some of this stuff early, right? Because a lot of us were introduced to these things as adults. You know, this weren't something that was an option when we were kids. And then also, as you see on the education side, it's in a lot of different ways. You know, you've got kids, sometimes schools, some are better than other schools. Sometimes people want to do homeschooling. You guys have created a school where kids can come in and where this whole kind of healthy thought process is on the front burner, if you will. Right. And but it's an actual school where they're learning, I guess, reading, writing, math.
Academics.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
So talk about the school.
I didn't know if I realized that. So yes. This is like a whole, this is like every day.
It's a private school.
Private school. Mm-hmm.
And and you started it.
Yes.
This is, I mean, it's not easy on the difficulty scale, right? To go ahead and do this.
What were you thinking? I get an idea and then I just 1, 2, 3 jump, and it's worked out so far for me, but the school is a lot bigger than I could have imagined.
Yeah.
Well, talk about like the inspiration, like what, because people don't, you can see that there may be things out there in the world that it would be great if they existed. Mm-hmm. That doesn't, you know, cause a lot of people to just go make them happen. So what was the inspiration why you started it? And then like, then what is it and how does it work?
I have 4 of my own children. I have a 13-year-old who has struggled quite a bit with learning issues and social anxiety. I have an 11-year-old who is super smart and really needs challenge. and I have two girls. So personally, I watched the system not really be able to support them in a way that they should have or could have been supported. With the private practice, working with the kids in the community and the families, I saw that there was a big gap in, you know, what the children were doing through the day and how they were coming home afterwards. So I just, you know, 1, 2, 3, jump. It was kind of funny on Facebook. I just said, who wants to open a school? Yeah.
And when, just do it.
When kids are comfortable in their environment and they're being authentic and they're being themselves and in small class sizes, so each one, their needs are supported.
Getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, a lot of attention. And you start the day with a little bit of yoga, a little body consciousness, nice. A little bit of meditation. We're creating space now. I'm ready to learn. The ideas are flowing. I'm getting creative. We're providing healthy organic lunches, dye-free lunches. So, you know, we're trying to remove some of the components that we're putting in our body that are slowing down our mental capacity.
How many students are in the school?
We have 47, and there's 5 more starting in January. So a few of the different components, we have a pet therapy room that we partner with a local foster agency. So we have, I don't, maybe 15-something pets. So they've all gone home with the families over Christmas break, and most of them aren't coming back, so that's been working out. But
They've been adopted.
I don't think that was the intention with the parents initially.
Well, but see, that's good to know that they've been adopted. They're going to be loved, because I do some stories and features on exotic cuisine, and we wouldn't want it, right, that they've just decided to incorporate them into
eating.
I'm only kidding. Well, so, now, has anyone ever done, I don't know, either whether it's like a any kind of research or is there any kind of data on it? Because think about this. We mentioned just a little bit that a lot of these things, all these good habits and a lot of these good practices are done, or at least you discover them as an adult and you're trying to like kind of just fix maybe either damage or things that that weren't as good as they could have been in the past and kind of improve. But to do it from the get-go as a kid, like that's got to be very powerful.
It's really amazing. So we try to teach the kids that there's two ways to behave. It's either to show love or to cry out for love. So if someone is not showing you love, it's because something's going on within them. Then we teach them that they have three ways to respond. You can add fire and make it worse. You can do nothing, or you can make it better. So we start to teach the kids if someone says something mean to them or is having a bad day to support them and to love them and to understand. Right. And the shift that's happened with the kids in the school is just amazing, just in these few months.
Just in general, that is such a great concept to share with kids, because when someone's mean to them, they take it as like it's them, right?
Right.
And I try and talk to my kids about this as well. It's like it's think about maybe what's happening with them, that they're doing that. Why are they saying that? It's something maybe more to do with what's going on in their day rather than,
And so it's developing empathy and thinking about others. Sure. We also have aquaponics, so we're teaching the kids about self-sustainability. We have fish that feed the waste, feeds the vegetables that then they eat for lunch. So we have a whole room doing that.
This is crazy. Okay, this is crazy good, and it's happening out in Yorkville. So give the information. We've got maybe a couple minutes left. We want to talk about where it is, and I don't know. You know, I don't know if it's the kind of thing where you want more students. You certainly want more some support and, and ways where people can kind of get in and get involved, regardless if they have kids or not. They can get in and maybe add to some of the things that you're doing or can do. So give some information about the school, where it is, the website, and some ways people can get a hold of you.
Yeah, you can find it on Facebook, the easiest. Just search Grace Holistic Center for Education. And we're trying to build community here. Like, the idea of the school is to represent the community in positive ways. I mean, these kids are already going out to old folks' homes and visiting with old people. They're working at the food pantry. They're trying to get out and do random acts of kindness in the community. So, you know, we're trying to grow and make connections with people. So Facebook's a great place to find out what's going on. We do have a website as well, www.ghcfe.org, where you can find us. And, you know, it's really trying to get partnerships, and, you know, it's a nonprofit. So we're looking for funds as well. We're looking for help, you know, to keep us moving forward and, you know, again, build that community, create those relationships, and reach out to more kids that can grow from this environment.
Well, I love the idea. And so maybe down the road, you guys are just, you know, two people, and there may be limitations on what you can handle. But if you can inspire other people to get in, support, get involved, and then maybe if, you know, you could maybe have some satellite satellite campuses around.
That would be awesome.
I mean, but the idea is really, really, really great. So one more time with the website and the Facebook page.
It's www.ghcfe.org. You can find us online. And then Facebook /GHCFE.
We're going to have those links up at WGNradio.com along with this interview. And we did have one question we wanted to get to is from the 815. It's a man who is new to yoga. He said, what should he wear? And does he need to buy his own mat? I'm sure it varies between the clubs, but what would your advice be for him?
For, you know, for a man, I love that men are reaching out to yoga more and more because men is a you know, category we need to get to take that armor off men's hearts, to open up that awesome energy that's inside men. So as far as what you wear something comfortable, wear something loose, you know, wear something you can move around in, flow around in. And mats you can rent at yoga studios, but you can find some really reasonably priced ones at local stores, you know, 10, 20 bucks, and then see how it works for you. And then if you want to upgrade from there, go for it.
Yep.
And men need to be patient too, yeah. Right? Because yep. It's not as easy for them as it is for
it
women,
is.
Right?
It
We're
is.
Not, they're not as flexible as we are.
Sure.
So they come in and they see all of us doing all these crazy poses, right? And and then they're like a little frustrated with it.
Never be intimidated. You know, go in there authentically yourself and, you know, be somebody who's teachable, be somebody who's ready to learn, and you might find out some really amazing things about yourself.
Yeah, you're going to experience more than what you're planning for. That is for sure. Comfortable stuff, probably get a mat, then you can do stuff at home and kind of have extra options on the mobility. Guys, we love what you do. Terry Grayson, Paul Hansen, and of course, we'll have those links up at WGNradio.com. Right now, it is 2:30 and at news time. Here's Brandon Campbell.
The boss.
720 WGN. It is Dane Neal here, Allstate Showcase Studio, until 3 p.m. today for the Frank Fontana Show. And for those people that know and love and who doesn't, the Frank Fontana Show, oftentimes he'll have kind of new advances and gadgets and cool things that are going on. He'll kind of share those with the listeners as well. In studio, one of my guests, we've got Beth Peterson, lifestyle expert.
Yes.
Tailgating guru. And we've got Tom Hush in the booth playing. He's choosing those songs, all of his songs, peppy, upbeat. I think
it's
a great way, right, to have a positive attitude into 2017. And how could you not after our last guest, right? I mean, these are people invested in helping people be the best that they can be. But, you know, if you're realistic, you can go get your own yoga mat. But some of the tech stuff out there can help you be the most advanced.
Right.
So once your mind is cleared and you're in that good place, you'll be in the best place to enjoy some of the latest things that are going on, some exciting stuff in the tech world. On the line with us, we are honored to have Emmy Award-winning consumer tech journalist Jennifer Jolly. She is a New York Times columnist, Tech Now for USA Today host, and you see her work on the Today Show, Talk, CNN, HLN, Dr. Oz, Yahoo, Time, and many others. Jennifer Jolly, welcome to WGN.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Now, do you get excited when it's the new year and you, because you have your hand on the pulse of all things, you know, technology and some of these advancements, that when you know about some cool stuff that's going to come out before the rest of the public knows and you're like, this is going to blow them away?
It's tough. It's like having that crystal ball into the world of new gadgets and tech and not being able to talk to anyone about it. We have this gigantic consumer electronics show coming up. 43 football fields,
whoa,
the equivalent of 43 football fields, will be filled with gadgets. It's the 50th anniversary of CES. It'll be the biggest show ever. About 250,000 people come from around the globe to really show off as well as get the first look of what will be the hottest gadgets of the year to come. So with that, being a tech journalist, I do have all this information under embargo. So all these companies have given me these sneak peeks and these hints, and they tell me, you know, and I'm not allowed to really tell anyone else. I can give some hints.
Oh, that's so crazy. So
all the news.
So Jennifer's it's like, there's going to be some great stuff, and you're going to love it. And that's all I have to say about that.
That's all I can say.
Well, here's a
question. I can tell you, but then I have to tell you.
Well, we all want to stay alive, because that's part of our whole idea. You know, most of the people's resolutions include them surviving. So we're going to have to do what we can to stay alive. One question I had was, and this is something a couple years ago, I got a chance to talk with a good friend of ours, a family friend forever, is was one of the guys working on, still is, the Oculus Rift and some of the virtual reality stuff that's going on. And you saw it go from something that's kind of like, well, I guess it's neat. You know, it's kind of cool. It has some applications on the medical side. And then you saw it kind of branch into the thing where this year you saw commercials for it being under every single person's Christmas tree and a reason why they should have it. Like, are there going to be advances on the mm-hmm. on the virtual reality side, and where is that going to go?
Virtually an augmented reality, you know, pointing your smartphone at something and seeing a character pop up, kind of like we did with the Pokemon Go. Yeah. That technology will explode this year, and we are going to see more of it than we ever have before at CES. And we're talking everything like these, you know, these technologies that cross the physical and digital divide, and they really represent really the future of computing. I mean, so this isn't just a little thing like, wow, there's going to be new goggles that we put on that show us, you know, how to game in a different way. I mean, we're talking everything from virtual reality and augmented reality embedded in our cars.
Wow.
I was just reviewing, this is one I can tell you about, I was just reviewing this little blanket for kids. It's you know, for toddlers, that when you're reading them a bedtime story, you have this blanket on them, and it comes to life, like these characters. It's called the Spintails Enchanted Duvet, and then there's a Spintails Jungle Rug. So as you're reading bedtime stories, these characters will pop up
out of the
covers and off of the rug. And, I mean, that alone is just incredible.
Wow, it's like almost mind-blowing. I have so many questions for you, but I almost don't even know where to begin. There's just so much going on in technology, and we live in such a time when it's just remarkable, amazing. Mm-hmm. The big thing that I have is wondering, like, how long, like, when you hear about a technology, how long does it usually take to become something that, like, all of us get to know about? Is it years? Or does it just vary?
Well, when you look at another gigantic theme of this year, which is cars, this year 20% of the entire show will be dedicated to car technology. And if you think about it, the car is really the biggest connected device we own. So we will see a half dozen or so self-driving cars this year at CES. But we know we're not going to see those self-driving cars rolling off of the lot until about 2025.
So in that case,
we'll see an amazing amount of autonomous car technology that is still, you know, 5 years or so, 5 years or more away.
Yeah.
Autonomous cars we'll see rolling out in 4 to 5 years, but then it won't be really mainstream until about 2025. But it's you know, I've seen so many really cool concepts, and then I'm, you know, by the time they do hit the store shelves 2 or 3 years later, I'm pretty over them. This year, expect to see, you know, it's definitely both. To answer your question, you'll see some that'll debut this year, like smart bikes, and I do know, I can't say which company this is, but I know that a lot of cars will integrate more with your home technology, assistants, those personal assistants at home like Alexa and Google Home. There will be a car that we will see debuting that will work hand in hand with that stuff. So you can basically say, hey, Alexa, do this by the time I get home. Have all my lights on, things like that, and it will happen. And we'll see that this year, and that technology will roll out this year.
One of the things that we've seen, you know, it's gone from kind of this curiosity to something that you see on a pretty regular basis to something that, you know, a lot of people have. You know, my son ended up getting one, a little small one, but now is that whole drone thing. And I remember, it was just a couple of days ago, Amazon got a patent for this floating fulfillment center that would have drones that would fly out of it, delivering things to the area, or maybe to events or sporting events and things like that. What's your thought as you see the way that drones are going to be integrated into, like, I guess, our everyday lives, or things that we know and need?
Drones will still be a big part of the show this year. Drones need to get safer overall. And this goes for, there's really two big things with drones. So the drones that your son is playing with, battery life typically blows on those.
Yeah.
You know, they last 15 minutes or so, and then you either have to replace a battery or recharge it.
actually need battery life to get quite a bit better. And then for the bigger drones, the ones that you have to register, the ones that, you know, are really more for grown-ups to play with, those need to get safer, both in when they're flying around. The blades can actually do a bit of damage if you are not so great. We had a little experience with that earlier this year. My photographer, I flew one a little too close. It cut his arm. He still has a scar from it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then also just in terms of how we feel about that invasion of privacy, I mean, there's a lot of issues to be discussed. It was a big year for drones flying around outside of people's windows.
And, yeah.
And so the drone world will continue to go forward. We are coming into a world where our Amazon deliveries will be delivered by drones, but we have a ways to go in the practicality of that and how that will happen.
Well, and you bring up a really good point in talking about the drones and you know, the privacy and all that stuff, because what I have been reading more and more about and seeing more about is technology and privacy. Like, you know, they were just talking about the little Alexas being in your home and how that, you know, there's information that's being, can be taken like passively from just being on in your home. I mean, these kinds of things are going to become more and more an issue as technology develops more. Like even the car situation, you know, you've got all this technology in your car that, you know, kind of tracks everything that you're doing,
how
right?
That's a great point, Beth. And Jennifer, how does that work? Because you're seeing as this technology is being integrated into everything, and then usually the legislative or judicial process moves a lot slower and it's more reactive, is when your car is oftentimes is, you know, an accident scene or your house is a crime scene. Like, how are they going to, you know, get that information, or is there something, you know, amendment wise that says that they shouldn't have access to it?
You know, I would have to dig around to really see where the laws stand today, but this is something that we should all be aware of and, do our own research for, you know, what the laws are and the statutes and all of that in our own area. I just had a friend over this holiday ask me, you know, hey, legally, is it my legal right to shoot a drone down if it's hovering outside my window,
Yeah. You
know, here in the countryside? And I said, you know, I'm not sure legally if you can do that or not, but we should find out. And that's something I hope to do quite a few stories on this year. I know just at CES in general, a personal privacy around cybersecurity and robotics. We're going to see a ton of robots and new robotic technology this year at CES. Those are really key technologies, and so we really have to find out how to protect ourselves, how to turn these gadgets off when we do truly value our privacy. And that's something that hopefully more tech journalists will be talking about as well.
We're going to let the listeners know we're talking with Emmy Award-winning consumer tech journalist, the one and only Jennifer Jolly of New York Times, Tech Now for USA Today, the Today Show Talk. She is joining us to talk about some of the advancements, some of the things that we kind of know a little bit about in 2016 that are going to be getting a lot bigger and more important in 2017. When we come back, we're going to take a tiny break. When we come back, we're going to get all the information from her about how we can enjoy all of the rest of her work, as well as has technology has gone from beyond maybe things to make our lives better, and it's kind of entered the international stage, right, as far as whether it's politics or global politics or conflicts. And so we'll do that in just a second. So stay tuned. It is Dane here on 720 WGN. Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio, in until 3 p.m. and on the line with us, excited to have, and Beth Peterson to my right as well, excited to have on the line Jennifer Jolly. She is, of course, an Emmy Award-winning consumer tech journalist. And Jennifer, normally, at least usually, you know, you're reviewing products that are fun and interesting and maybe entertainment, whether it's your phone or your you know, home entertainment system or drones or just things that are kind of fun. We're not Now you're seeing the tech side of things kind of enter into the world of international politics and conflict, whether it's, you know, whether it's ISIS using the cell phone and we're trying to go ahead and extract the information. You've got that conflict, whether it's the Russian hackers that are out there. I mean, the whole tech side has taken on just a bigger role as far as, I think, the world, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it used to be that we could turn it on and turn it off. You know, tech in general and connectivity in general, We were a lot more in control over when we allowed technology into our lives versus now when it is just a part of our life. It's embedded, it's ingrained, and one of the biggest predictions going forward, you know, over the next 5 years is that people, consumers, will start to turn tech off a little more than we have so far because we really want to maintain our control. Privacy and security is extremely important, and that's not only here in the United States, it's truly a global concept. But we do expect to see more of that in the future as well.
So you're thinking people are looking to kind of scale, and you saw this on the food side where everybody, you know, how quick could you make it? How microwavable could you make it? And then you kind of, everyone's like, right. Well, wait a minute, let's kind of scale things back a little bit. Or even on the cell phone side, make it as small as possible, hey, it's too small. Then right. Now right. It changes and gets bigger. So you're going to see people kind of want to get back to basics and be people again, right? Instead of integrated robot. You know?
Well, and we get so excited about this technology. It's so new and exciting, and it helps our lives in so many ways. But then, like, you know, making sure that we're, you know, thoughtful and mindful about like what it could mean for, like, we've been talking about privacy and security and all those kinds of things is, I think being a little bit cautious before accepting it all into your life, even though it seems so exciting and wonderful, and it is exciting and wonderful, but just making sure that we're safe with it as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If you haven't looked into some of the latest standards for safety, especially where kids are involved in raising these responsible and ethical digital citizens, beginning of the year, always a good time to review that. At beginning of the year, always a good time to review your privacy and safety security settings on Facebook. With all the email hacks, go in and look into privacy and security settings in whatever email carrier or email you use, service provider you use. And then also, if you haven't done this yet, this is your number one tech resolution of the year. Sign up for a secure password service, something like LastPass or KeePass, or even what's already comes with your computer. I mean, I say this all the time. Make sure your gadgets are up to date, and make sure your passwords are really locked down. It's not difficult to do that. And then thirdly, for people listening to this today, you know, you're never, ever, ever going to get an email about a security issue that you need to click on a link to fix.
Right.
Store those emails, send them straight to the trash.
Just send them to the trash.
You know, yeah, really. I mean, these are just.
It just takes like one time to get burned. It just takes one time to get burned on that one. And,
well, you know. Yeah. Jennifer, I'm surprised that the Nigerian princes out there, and there are many, because they're all sending.
I know. They seem to. It's devastating. I know. And, you know, really smart, intelligent people get taken by these things sure. every single day. So don't feel ashamed if you do fall for it. If you like that thing on Facebook that you think will give you some free new car. I mean, it happens all the time. Just be careful and treat your digital world the way you treat your physical world. Don't go down those crazy back alleys. Don't trust people you wouldn't in real life. You know, get to know your friends online and off.
Well, let the listeners know we're talking with Jennifer Jolly. You can read her in the New York Times, of course, Tech Now for USA Today, and see her on so many of our favorite programs like The Today Show, The Talk, CNN, HLN, Dr. Oz, and in publications like Time and many others. So for you, a person that where the amazing is mundane, right? You're constantly seeing all these great things. It's tough to impress you or surprise you. As we get into 2017, is there one or two things that even you're shocked by or surprised by or impressed by where maybe you're skeptical saying they can't really do that?
What I love and what I'm constantly looking for is when today's latest, most modern technology does make my life a little bit better or a little bit easier. So I really appreciate something last year. There was a water bottle. It was just a simple water bottle, and I can't even think of the actual name, but it was a water bottle that charged all your gadgets. You could use it as a flashlight. and a USB-connected speaker. It's little things that actually make my life better in some way. So that's what I'm going to be really looking for at CES. I mean, I really do want that robot that will do my dishes for me or wash the windows for me. I do love the voice-activated technology. We should see a Samsung vacuum cleaner that you just tell it to turn on, and it'll go vacuum your house for you.
I like that. That sounds like fun.
There's a whole new marketplace for sleep technology, beauty tech, baby tech. And while we expect some really weird and off-the-wall things to come out of this, I expect some kind of life-changing awesomeness, too.
So she is dispensing life-changing awesomeness as far as information on a regular basis. So Jennifer, let the listeners know, for those people, like, when are some of the key times that they're going to want to check in with you and where they can either follow you on social media and keep up with all your adventures?
I will be doing live thoughts, for, you know, live reports from CES starting in just 2 days from now. I will be there all week. So you can go to jenniferjolly.com. USAtoday.com. We are launching, my little team of people who just want to know about the latest gadgets, but also how to use them. You know, not only what the latest gadgets are, but how to really use them the best way we can in our lives. We're launching a new website called Techish, E-C-H-I-S-H, Techish.com. We hope to be up and running by CES. It looks like it might be pushed back a few weeks, but you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Facebook, and then all those places that I write for on a regular basis as well.
We look forward to keeping up with it and keeping up with you and having you share, being our guide to some of the new and exciting things happening in 2017 and beyond. So Jennifer, thanks so much for what you do, and thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. As I said in the beginning, Happy New Year. And I can't, you know, every year at CES, I try to find the weirdest of the weird stuff, too. So, well, I'll be sure to check in with you about that. And that's always fun.
Everybody loves weird. All right. Happy New Year.
Thanks. Happy New Year, Jennifer.
Happy New Year. All right. So that was Jennifer Jolly. See, exciting stuff. That's kind of a fun job, right, to get in there.
Oh, yeah.
And to go ahead and do that. 312-981-7200. You have a minute or two, and we're going to call the winner of the
Hendrix?
No, it's not the Hendrix. The Powell and Mahoney. Right. Yes, because it's National Bloody Mary Day. I know, we're going to be super on time for news. So definitely go to WGNradio.com, WGNplus.com, follow the Dane Neal Show. You can follow me on Twitter at Dane Tonimo. And Beth, go ahead and if you want to give out your social media as well for people to catch up with you.
You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at Beth's Table, and also at yummynetwork.com. All sorts of good, fun things, yummy things happening there at yummynetwork.com.
Amazing stuff. And in 5 seconds, what's your resolution, New Year's resolution?
To drink more Bloody Marys in 2017.
Nice. Tom, any resolutions that you've got?
Be at WGN more.
And be on time for news? And be on time for news. Mine is just to get a little healthier, and hopefully everybody can do that and enjoy. Stay tuned here. So right now it is 3 o'clock and news time. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com.